chapter 13, you'll find it on page 1197 in your pew Bible, and we'll be reading from verse 7 through 16 this morning. Before we read, let's just take a moment and turn our thoughts to the Lord. Let's pray. O High King of Heaven, you truly are our greatest treasure. And so we ask that you would truly take our hearts and enable us to be fully satisfied with you alone. As we turn to your word, may you provide us with the light to see and to know how to live together as your people. We pray this, Lord, in our Savior's name alone. Amen. We begin reading in verse 7. This is the word of the living God. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace and not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals who is brought into the holy places by the high priest as sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This far the reading of God's holy word. Notice that 13th verse. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and let us bear the reproach he endured. At our men's Bible study last Saturday, we had a conversation about just the shifts in our culture. And one mentioned that it feels to him like he's living in the Twilight Zone. Things have changed so radically that we can hardly know how to respond, how to live. You may have experienced the same reality. One of our neighbors had on his lawn, the newest creed that marks so much of our society. In this house, we believe that black lives matter, love is love, women's rights are human rights, we are all immigrants, diversity makes us stronger. Many companies force their employers now to go through diversity training so that they may know how to treat others equally, how to notice their white supremacy, their own racism, their own homophobia, their own xenophobia. In this culture and the changes we're undergoing, the question for us this morning is, what does it mean to be Christ-centered in this kind of culture, in this climate? To say that in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, through the grace of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to live in union with our Savior. What does it mean? I want us to reflect on that in light of Hebrews 13. And there is at least three things that I want to emphasize and then give us two reasons for being Christ-centered in this way. First of all, to be Christ-centered means that we must deliberately join Christ. Therefore, let us go to Him. Now, you would say, well, that seems kind of obvious, isn't it? Because isn't a disciple a follower of Christ? And yet, these believers are summoned here deliberately to join Christ, to go to Him. Why? Because you see, the Jewish believers here are experiencing what we are experiencing. Their life has grown uncomfortable. They're out of sync with the culture around them. You see, when they were Jews, yes, they were odd, they were strangers, but the Jews were protected under Roman law. Their worship had special privileges. But now that they have become followers of Christ, they no longer share in those privileges. And they were experiencing persecution. And so they were asking themselves, well, shouldn't we go back? Shouldn't we just let go of Christ and become Jews again? And they had special teachers who were telling them, oh, you know, there's other ways to find blessing. We have special ways, special food that will provide you with the grace your heart needs. And so the preacher here comes to these believers and says to them, no, don't be deceived by the false teachers. Don't let go of the Lord Jesus Christ, but deliberately go out and join Him. So that's where we need to begin. We need to remind ourselves that the values of our Savior, no matter what the world's values are the values that matter eternally. So let us go and join Him. Now notice where we need to go. And that's the second thing. To be Christ-centered means to deliberately join Christ there where He's suffering is the greatest. He says, therefore, let us go to Him outside the camp. Now, the imagery here is important to keep in mind. It's very clear that the context here is especially the sin offering, and especially the sin offering on the great day of atonement. None of the priests could eat any of the sin offering. That you take the blood and some of the fat and put that on the altar to the Lord. But then the carcass had to be carried outside the camp to be burned. Or outside the city. And now, the writer is using that imagery to remind us that Jesus was crucified outside. Outside of Jerusalem. Outside of the gate. Outside of the camp. Now, what's the outside? It had very specific implications for the Jews. To be outside the camp means to be in the unholy place. Apart from the presence of God. Apart from the establishment, the society, the community. You are an outsider. And that's why everyone who was unclean, unholy, were to stay outside. Some were merely temporary unholy. But the lepers were permanently unholy. And so they had to remain on the outside. And so the symbolism here of Jesus going outside the gate to suffer reminds us of his rejection. That he is an outsider, an outcast, and he identifies himself with the outcast. And we need to join him as an outcast. We go outside of the established, civilized community. To join with him there, where his suffering are greatest. There, where his shame is evident. And we are called to join him there. And that's the third thing. To be Christ-centered means that we must deliberately join Christ where his suffering is greatest and enter into his shame. Notice, therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. We're invited into Jesus' suffering. We're invited to associate with Christ, who was reproached, reviled, rejected by everyone. There's something quite refreshing here. Because you see, our desire is for all this craziness just to end, isn't it? We want things just to go back to kind of how it used to be, especially if we're older, because we feel that we've moved from a society where we were much at home to a place now where we are truly feeling like we're in the twilight zone. Where do we find ourselves? The culture has departed from us so far, and yet here's the refreshing part. We are much closer to our brothers and sisters who lived in Bible times than we ever were before. The same reproaches that they endured because they confessed the name of Christ, we now can endure, which means the scriptures will live for us with greater power than ever before. Go to bear the reproach with Christ. Share in his shame. Why? Notice, it begins this verse with, therefore, So he's saying, in light of what went before, and what went before, he tells us, verse 12, so Jesus suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his blood. Why should you go and suffer with him there? Because you are sanctified by the blood of Christ. The writer to the Hebrews have emphasized over and over again that all of our salvation is tied up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he emphasized here is that as a community, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made holy by him. And so his values is the values that should be the dominant values in our heart. And no matter what culture it is, they will always despise the values of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are too comfortable, it means that we have not truly understood this holiness. But not merely the holiness that we have through our Savior motivates us. But notice, he also motivates them with verse 14. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. He reminds us here that we have not a safe place, an enduring place, a comfortable place in this world. We live for the better world that is to come. Earlier in chapter 11, he gives us this list of heroes of the faith and the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of them lived as aliens and strangers because they were looking for a better city, a city whose foundations are not laid in this world, but is laid by God himself in the world to come. And then later he says of Moses, in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. You see, Moses endured the reproach of Christ because he knew he has no lasting city in this world. If you seek comfort and peace, you won't find it in Christ here. Now, obviously, we find peace and comfort in Christ. But it's peace and comfort in spite of the suffering and persecution that this world will bring. If there is one thing that Christ has surely promised us we will experience in this world, it is tribulation. He says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil falsely on my account. Blessed are you. Happy are you. That's the happiness that can only come from knowing that we have a better future that is to come. This is what Christ calls us to. as a congregation, to join him in that place where his suffering is greatest, and to enter into his reproach. Because that's what it means to be a follower of Christ, to take up your cross, to die as you follow him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the true soberness with which you summon us to follow you, and remind us once again that true blessedness is found not in the accolades and the praise of this world, but truly in being blessed, knowing that we are following our Savior, who was himself rejected by men. And so give us the faithfulness, Lord, to press on, to honor and glorify our Savior to the end. May we as a congregation be truly Christ-centered in our values and in our devotion here in the fallen world. Amen.